Farron Dogs is the founder and CEO of Harrison Wallace Financial Group. Farron, welcome back.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's funny because in setting you up, Farron, I said it's been an interesting and maybe even optimistic week, but maybe I was thinking of the last few. Where is your mind about the general state of the economy or the markets right now?
Sure. Well, it has been. It's been nice. Actually, the last 5 or 6 weeks has been a little bit of a relief rally here in the markets. And I think it's been a culmination of a couple of different things. Primarily, we've seen some decent data come out from the consumer spending side. The consumer has remained surprisingly strong. And so that has been, you know, primarily good for the retail providers and that sort of thing. Not all, but some. So that's a positive. And we saw a little bit of a reduction in the inflation number back in July. So the Fed may be starting to feel like, oh, all these increases are maybe making an effect. So that gives the general market, I think, a hope for concern that maybe they won't be as aggressive in their tightening. That seems to be the majority of the discussion right now. And I think that has really helped prop up some of these prices. So you take those events and then, you know, prices were low. I mean, some of these big tech companies were at really nice discounts and people are looking back and saying, wow, I wish I could have owned it at this price back in January. So I think there was this sense of the investor kind of coming back in and scooping up some deals. And, you know, all of these things together have helped really provide a nice little rally here, which is nice to see for everybody.
Do you think there's still some value out there?
I think there's still value, but I think you do have to be selective. I don't think this is necessarily by the index type of market, because I do think there are going to be certain pockets as people still get through a struggle. You know, inflation is still here. It's very real. We see it at the, you know, at the gas pump, at the grocery store, really where we spend our money all the time. And so I don't think that a person can just blanketly buy the market. I think you do have to be selective about where you go. This isn't over. It's nice to see these, you know, it's nice to see some green arrows for a change. But, you know, we still have a lot to get through. And, you know, as we get into the end of the year, we'll have to see how some of these economic numbers still continue to come in. Unemployment, you know, it's interesting. I think that everyone's like, where'd all the workers go? You know, you walk into a restaurant and everyone's having server issues. They don't have enough help. So I think there's just been a lot of people are spending down their savings accounts right now. And so maybe as, you know, as those get spent down, more and more people will actually fill those spots and maybe level things off on the labor market.
Last year, we thought everybody would go back to work once the kids went back to school. That was a year ago. And obviously, that wasn't the trigger, and it's still there. I was at the Farm and Fleet the other day, and I suppose it's like this at other stores too, but when I went to the small engine repair counter and then another counter, they had a little bell or button, and you pushed that, and then somebody would come and help you. But they didn't have the staff to continually have somebody there. And I've never seen that before at a Walmart or a Farm and Fleet, but that's the way they're doing it now.
Right. I'm seeing that as well. And all over the country, it's not necessarily geographically pinpointed. And, you know, I don't know if it's a combination of a lot of people did take early retirement during COVID. Many took advantage of being able to work remotely, maybe are living easier lifestyles. They realize they can survive on less. And so maybe they're doing a little more gig type economy work to bring in some extra dollars. But it's an interesting phenomenon going on, and because it seems like we just, you know, lost a lot of those workers in the last 2 years. So we'll have to see. You know, now that some of those stimulus programs have kind of subsided, obviously the unemployment enhanced benefit went away late last year. And as I mentioned, some of those savings plans are actually getting spent down. People were able to save a lot of money during COVID because they just weren't, you know, there was really nothing to spend it on unless they were, you know, fixing up their home or something along that line.
Or an internet service, a media platform.
Or that. You know? Yeah, extra, right, exactly.
Subscription to a platform. Farron Doggs is the founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial Group. Out of time today, Farron, but it's always nice to talk to you. Thanks for jumping in.
All right, I appreciate it, John. Have a good day.
Three fun stories to talk to Joan Salzman about from CNET. Hi, Joan, you ready to roll?
I'm absolutely ready to roll, John. Let's go.
Let's start with kind of a milestone in TV viewing. What is it?
Yeah, so last month in July in the U.S., we streamed more TV on services, on streaming services, than people spent watching cable TV for the first time ever. Now, this has been an inflection point that was a long time coming. Streaming has been climbing for years, while traditional TV has had this kind of steady, you know, stopgap here and there, but it's overall steady sort of decline. But last month was the first time that people were streaming more than they were watching cable.
If you add broadcast TV with cable TV, then that's more than the streaming services, though, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So this these are stats by Nielsen. People, of course, recognize Nielsen. It's the TV measurement giant known for their traditional TV ratings. They break out broadcast TV, which is those big channels, ABC, NBC, and the rest, from cable networks. And so when they are providing these stats, they're looking at how the television is delivered to you, whether it's over a cable service, whether you're watching broadcast TV, those big channels, or if you're getting it through an internet connection, through an online streaming service. So, like, even though traditional TV, as in cable and broadcast, it's still much bigger than streaming, and even though that quote-unquote streaming television watching that was so big last month, that included some cable networks, because people have streaming services that just stream live cable networks to them. There's a little bit of gray fudging here and there, but overall, it definitely tells the story that streaming, as a lot of people, I'm sure, see in their day-to-day lives, streaming is becoming a bigger and bigger part of how we watch TV now.
No kidding. The WeWork founder has got a new venture and hundreds of millions of dollars in value. Talk about that.
Right. So Adam Neumann was the founder and for most of its life, the CEO of WeWork. And he's got this new company. It's basically called Flow. And not a whole lot's known about it other than it basically wants to WeWorkify apartment rentals, sort of take the WeWork idea and move it over to apartments. But he's also famous for almost driving the company off a cliff. There was a very dramatic unraveling of WeWork a couple years ago, right before it was supposed to go public. And it was sort of seen as one of the most dramatic crashes of a tech company, quote-unquote tech company, in recent memory. But now Neumann has just got a big check from Andreessen Horowitz, which is sort of considered royalty in Silicon Valley venture capital. They invested $350 million in his Flow company, and it's the single biggest check Andreessen Horowitz has written in like a single round and a single company. It's the biggest they've ever handed over to a person.
Did they see the documentary about this guy? Because he's cuckoo bananas. I wouldn't give him 57 cents. I'm not kidding.
There's documentaries. There was a whole a mini series about the drama of WeWork on Apple TV Plus. There have been books. There have been all kinds of just documenting how much of a disaster WeWork was. And so there has been backlash. There has been at least some outcry about, you know, why should someone be able to fail so epically? And squander billions of dollars of other investors and for workers, and then be given hundreds of millions more for another. You know, why does that person get to be for?
Well, they can invest their money any way they want, but at least the way the show I saw told it, it wasn't because they invested in the wrong neighborhoods or there was something wrong with their business model. It was this guy. He was irresponsible. There was something really charismatic about the cult of him that drew people in. But at the end of the day, I don't think he was a good manager. So the idea that he's got another $350 million, I thought I saw $1 billion actually in capital behind him. is stunning to me. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Yeah, the 1 billion figure, that's how much this, I believe that that's how much his flow company is now valued at, given this $350 million investment.
Okay,
that
one last thing, Joan. So before we go, the new iPhone is coming out September 7th. What do you know about it?
Yeah, so we don't know much. It's all still just rumors because that's the way of the world with Apple. But if you want to pencil it in, we're expected for Apple to have their big unveiling of the next iPhone on September 7th. Ahead of probably it going on sale September 16th. So if you are interested in possibly getting upgrading your iPhone, that's likely when you're going to get the actual information about not only what the new iPhone was going to look like, but also whether or not you're going to have to pay more than you would have if you bought it in the last round.
Joan Salzman, senior reporter, CNET.com. Hi, Joan. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit again another day.
It's always great. Thanks, John.
Understand this correctly. When you go to Whole Foods now, you're going to see something new called Sacred Serve, which is a vegan gelato brand created by founder Kaylee Donawald. Kaylee, you're on WGN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is that right? Whole Foods is where we're going to find your stuff now?
That is right. We are in the process right now of launching into new regions across the country with Whole Foods.
I don't know if you know this, but that's a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. I do know this. I grew up in the Chicagoland area, so Whole Foods has always been the goal for me.
So tell me about your product.
Yeah, so we make a non-dairy gelato, and so the base is coconut, but it's different because it's not coconut milk. It's what's called young coconut meat. And so this comes from the same green coconuts that give you coconut water, and it's this really nutrient-dense part of the coconut and gives us a really nice creamy base for all of our flavors.
Where'd you get this idea? What got you into this?
You know, I had a really powerful journey of just healing different conditions by changing to a more whole plant-based diet. So I was really inspired to create products that really reflect that mission. But I was studying abroad in Bali, Indonesia, and discovered this young coconut meat ingredient, which a lot of chefs were working with over there, and thought, you know, how great to be able to bring this back to the States.
So I'm sorry, are you saying you had a health condition and this was helpful to you?
Yeah, so I grew up with really bad cases of asthma and allergies, and when I was living abroad, I embarked on a plant-based diet, and essentially within 2 weeks, I noticed that my body was essentially healing both those conditions that I no longer have today. So I realized it was really the processed foods and certain meat and dairy, which I had sensitivities to, that were essentially causing these conditions and the symptoms in my body. So removing that from my diet was super powerful for me.
Why do you call the company Sacred Serve?
You know, we started, like I said, in Bali. There's this big kind of yoga scene there, and that's where we came up with the name Sacred, really just creating something with a lot of intention that's good for both our bodies and the earth.
I called that a vegan gelato. Is that what you call it too?
That's correct. Yes, vegan. Vegan can sometimes be a polarizing word. So we'll often say it's plant-based, which just means that we're using all plants instead of animal-based products.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I mean, I think that targets it for an audience that is growing, and that's a good word, but then there are the people that are a little apprehensive. Do you need both markets, or are you happy to just deliver to the one?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when we first started, I would say we really did target the vegan specific community because they inherently understood the product and were very excited about it and thus very supportive. So we started with them, but then we did start to branch out with just the plant-based term because the product itself, you know, I think for people that aren't vegan, that just kind of connotates this icy, more ice, yeah, shaved ice style product. But we've really established this creamy base through some of our innovation. And it, you know, it definitely works for people that are used to eating dairy based products as well.
So where is it in the grocery store then? Where do I find it?
You can find it in the non-dairy freezer section door with all the other ice cream pints.
Have you gone around looking and are you angry sometimes at the product placement? Do you say, why am I not on that shelf instead of this shelf?
That's exactly right. We used to actually do all of our own merchandising and deliveries to stores, so we were able to get better placement. But now that we're growing a lot farther and wider than we can reach ourselves, it is sometimes up to the store's discretion to put them on various shelves. So certainly we try and do as many store visits as we can to negotiate better placement.
Well, how big are you? How many employees? How much product? What are we talking about?
Yeah, you know, we're still growing. Absolutely. We've got about 5 internal team members, but we've leveraged a lot of, fractional teams externally. And we're in about 400 or 500 doors right now across the U.S.
But Whole Foods is the one that really kind of launches you nationally, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. So we, originally launched with Whole Foods in 2019, where we just launched into 30 doors just strictly here in Illinois. And so from 2019 to now 2022, we've grown from just localized to regional to then multi-regional. So, yeah, they've been a really great supportive partner and helps us really reach, those far and wide warehouses that we weren't in before.
And you manufacture it here in the Chicago area, right?
We do, yeah. So we've had self-manufacturing for the first 4 years of our business and had a facility down on the south side in Chicago and have recently started working with some third-party manufacturers in Chicago as well.
I don't know if you know this, but there's not a lot of coconut meat in the Chicago area.
I had to learn that. Yep, very unfortunate. So we are importing that from Thailand.
And have you had supply chain issues?
Yes. So, the ships are not coming into dock. That's been our biggest issue. But we've been able to just kind of increase our storage capacity. The lead times have, gone from 3 months to 6 months. So we're just holding on to some extra inventory during this time.
Yeah, no kidding. What flavors then is the gelato in?
So we have 5 flavors: salted caramel, mint chip, chocolate, chai latte, and a new cookies and cream.
When you do the mint chip or the cookies and cream, I get the feeling that however organic or vegan forward you are, it's also healthy. Is a mint chip or cookies and cream a compromise for you? How healthy is this?
That's exactly right. We have tried to take those classic nostalgic flavors and really upgrade them with superfoods. So what we've done with the mint chip is we have matcha in there, gives it a little green color, but it's a really nice antioxidant. Matcha is a green tea. And then the mint comes from a peppermint essential oil, which is antimicrobial and really good for digestion. And then in our cookies and cream, we have no cookies and no cream traditionally. So we've made cookies out of what's called tiger nut flour, which is this little root vegetable that has a naturally sweet and nutty flavor profile and gives us these really nice sweet cookies without having any of the gluten or dairy or refined sugars or any of that.
I don't know anything about your business, but I think I'm going to bet on you. You sure seem to have an enthusiasm and a knowledge for this coming from somebody from Chicago. This is fascinating.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It's a Kaylee Donawald, and it's called Sacred Serve at a Whole Foods near you. It's 12:43 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and the business news continues with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Portillo's says it's looking outside Illinois for growth, and the Sun Belt is getting much of the company's attention. Bloomberg says 5 of 7 new Portillo's locations are opening in Florida, Arizona, and Texas. Population growth in those areas is helping bolster expansion plans. Portillo's was founded in Villa Park nearly 60 years ago, but its popular Italian beef sandwiches and Chicago-style hot dogs are in high demand elsewhere, especially among people who've moved away from Chicago. Portillo's has grown to more than 70 locations now in 9 states. Chicago's Union Station will receive $3 million in federal funds for a renovation project estimated to cost nearly $850 million. The money from the Federal Railroad Administration is earmarked for completing the design process for renovations to the station's concourse level. Amtrak says the money will help grow the rail system and make it more economically sustainable. It should also increase access to jobs. The full Union Station project still has a long ways to go. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
We are sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Two words that either make your mouth water
yummy,
or make you want to gag.
Ew.
Pumpkin spice. The assault on our senses started several years ago with Starbucks and Dunkin' doing their coffee, and they're back.
Yes, people are excited, I think, for the coffees.
That is Jade Yan, a reporter for Ad Age based here in Chicago. Obvious from her accent.
I'm from Hong Kong.
Oh, well, back to pumpkin spice, which has invaded pretty much every part of our lives.
There are some old favorites returning. Oreos is coming back with a pumpkin spice version, which it hasn't had for 5 years. There's also a new Goldfish collab with Dunkin'. They're coming out with pumpkin spice flavored Goldfish.
And for beverages, along with the flavored coffees, there are other drinks.
Four Hands Brewing is putting out pumpkin spice stout.
Nestle's Toll House Cookies?
Yes, they're putting out pumpkin spice cookie dough with white chocolate chips.
Jell-O?
Yes, Jell-O's also doing pumpkin spice pudding.
And you wrote about pumpkin spice cup of noodles?
Yes, there was a video on their Twitter of them putting whipped cream on the cup noodle.
Well, that seems wrong. There are a lot of things that we don't eat or drink, like
a pumpkin spice scented body butter, pumpkin spice dish soap,
and on and on. Come September, pumpkin spice will be coming at us from every direction. And by the way, there's little, if any, real pumpkin in pumpkin spice. It's mostly a concoction that fools your brain into thinking that you're tasting pumpkin. Oh, and if you're really into it and you want to make some money,
the personal finance website Finance Buzz is asking for someone to taste test all of Trader Joe's Pumpkin Palooza products, and you get paid for it.
You can read more and see more in Jade Yan's report at adage.com. From the dairy farm to your belly, today's National Ice Cream Pie Day. Yeah, there's probably a pumpkin spice one of those somewhere. It's also National Fajita Day and National Pinot Noir Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Tina Malhotra joins us now, the CEO of something that everybody's buzzing about these days. She's the CEO of the Color Factory. Tina, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
What's the Color Factory?
So Color Factory is a multi-sensory art experience, and we celebrate the joy of color, and we have a series of really thoughtful, carefully curated, immersive exhibits and experience. And in each city, we work with artists, creatives, and makers, and we create these really interactive, immersive environments, and they each tell a unique color story and really appeal to people's natural curiosity and childlike imagination.
This opened up in June at Willis Tower. So what's an example? I go into a blue room and I feel blue. What happens?
Well, yeah, we have a bunch of different rooms. So we have just a few examples. We have a room called Perspective Party. It's a 1,500 square foot maze, and it's designed by the UK-based artist Camille Walala. And all of the patterns and colors and designs of the maze itself were directly inspired by Chicago's famous architecture. We have a room called Flavorama. This is actually my personal favorite. It's a special, unique tasting experience designed by an artist named Emily Balt. She actually grew up in Chicago. And this exhibit explores how sight and color can affect your sense of taste. And you go through a series of tasting experiences where you taste five different flavors, but we remove the color. And so we kind of leave it up to you to decide what color that you're tasting. You know, and then our fan favorite, which is a room that we have a version of in every city, is our grand finale, which is a gigantic green ball pit. And we chose green because of, you know, the city's, you know, St. Patrick's Day tradition, the lakefront trail, you know, the love of baseball, the oldest L line. And so we really try to curate every experience and have it be feel custom to the city that we're going to.
Sounds like you did your homework on Chicago. We have a green river, and the lake has a green tint sometimes. There's so many different colors of the water in Lake Michigan. It can be pretty shades of aqua and green, and then every version of blue. I love the colors of Lake Michigan water.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Do you do then, so you've hinted at this, but then what we would see in Chicago is different than what we would see in other cities?
That's right. Yeah, we spend, you know, the Chicago location we've been working on for 2 years almost. And so we spend a lot of time getting to know the city, working with artists that are local to the community, nonprofit organizations that are local as well, and curate the experience so that it is very custom to the city that you're in. So what you see in Houston or New York, there's many exhibits that you will only see in those cities.
1 minute left, Tina. What do I experience? What do you hope I feel or understand when I walk out?
I think just the ability to kind of go back to your childhood. I think bringing back your inner child, you know, when you come to Color Factory, it really has this magical way of bringing that excitement back, no matter what age you are, whether you're 4 or you're 94. And I think when it comes to art experiences, a lot of times people can be intimidated by it. But at Color Factory, it's really more about the emotion that you feel when you come to our spaces and having that kind of meaningful human connection and just slowing down and being present in the environment.
Man, this is different. Tuesday through Sunday, $28 to $38. It's at the Willis Tower in Chicago downtown. colorfactory.co, colorfactory.co. Tina, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.